So Easter Sunday, you can see the title for today's sermon is Are You Looking? Are You Listening? We will be looking at this passage that Keith just read. Even though it's about Jesus today and his resurrection from the dead, his victory over sin and death, today's passage is a lot about people. We have Peter, we have John, we have Mary, we have Jesus also. One idea that I've been thinking about that's going to apply to these different people, and it's going to apply to us also, is this quotation from Gordon Livingston. I've been thinking about this concept lately. Our greatest strengths are also our greatest weaknesses. There's certain characteristics about each of us that makes us successful, that allows us, enables us to carry out the things that we do in life. And it's surprising that those very things that make us successful can sometimes become stumbling blocks as well. By nature, I'm a teacher. And by nature, teachers are exhorters. They try to help students and people achieve their goals. I like doing that. I like building people up. But sometimes that building up can get in the way. Sometimes I need to say no to both myself and other people. And I have a hard time saying no. But sometimes the situation requires a no. What is one of your characteristics that you know help you be successful in whichever way you define success? What is a characteristic that you have that sometimes in a different context or maybe taken to an extreme level can actually become a stumbling block? It adds complexity to our lives. We think, oh, if I just have this virtue, everything will be fine. But as Livingston points out, those very things that make us successful can at times get in the way. We see that with human beings on a big scale. We have pride. Pride is good at many times. It enables us to have confidence and get the job done and do it well, and we take pride in our work. And yet, pride taken to extremes becomes a vice. We start thinking we can do it all on our own. And that's what got humanity in trouble back in the Garden of Eden. They started looking at themselves, and we're all guilty of it. We take pride in our work, and all of a sudden, it's really easy to get to the point of saying, I can do this all by myself. We take self-reliance too far. And then bad things can happen. We have to remind ourselves, no, all the things that I'm able to do is because of the gifts that God has given me and the abilities that God enables me to develop. Right, so that's the little picture on strengths that can turn into weaknesses. And the big level, humanity. Pride can get us in the way. Let's take a look at today's passage. We'll start off by taking a look and applying this idea to some of the characters in today's story. As Keith had read, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. It's empty. She goes to Peter and John and says, someone's taken the Lord. His body's not there. So what do? They start running. So I'm looking at all these runners in the audience today. It's almost like they'd make it a race. Peter and John are running to the tomb, and John gets there first, but he doesn't go in right away. Peter does. The impetuous seeker is Peter. Point I want to make about Peter is you need some people like Peter that's unafraid to just go forward and explore, you know, get the job done, or go into new ways of understanding ideas. You need people like that. The downside can be they can be so eager to do the task or to venture in new areas, that they get ahead of themselves. They kind of miss out on many of the details along the way. So I guess we're looking for this balance. What I like about Peter and John is between the two of them, they strike a nice balance. Peter has the energy. He jumps into activities. And then you've got John. He's the faster runner, but he doesn't go into that tomb right away. He's cautious. He's seeking the Lord, but he holds back a little bit, kind of scopes out the area. I'm imagining these two characters can maybe drive each other crazy sometimes, because Peter wants everything to go faster and faster, and John wants to slow down, and they have to try to find a happy medium. And then in this little passage, they do. Let me finish up with John, though, first. John, this cautious one, he'll pick up on more of the details along the way. But he can be too cautious. We can be too cautious, not trying new endeavors, not looking at theological issues in different ways. In some ways, we just want to have a neatly packaged set of doctrines and theology, and we can just grab onto that and live our lives that way. But the Peter says, hey, let's look at things in new ways. And it kind of nudges the John in all of us to look at things anew. All right, so there's Peter, impetuous, cautious John. They both end up inside of the tomb. And from this, they get new insights on previous experiences. Let me read that passage for you from verse 9 from today. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. I had to try to unpack what are they talking about here? And then I thought of Matthew 16:21. Remember, really, Christ rising from the dead should not have come as a surprise to the disciples, because he was telling them all the way to Jerusalem that it was going to happen. But it's like they did not hear him, or they did not acknowledge it. In Matthew 16:21, we hear, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, all of these religious leaders, and he must be killed. Jesus told them he would be killed, and on the third day he would rise. He told them, and yet when it came time for him to rise, it came as a surprise to them. How often do we just kind of tune out the new information? And then later on, we look back and we have that epiphany that, oh, well, this is what Jesus was talking about. You might read something in the Bible and you don't understand it, and all of a sudden the Lord leads you in certain directions in life. And then you reflect back and say, oh, the epiphany, the light bulb goes on. This is what that passage means. This is how it applies to my life. So we have, in the end, a nice balancing between the apostle who just rushes in and then the apostle that holds back. They both have these new insights on their previous experience by the end of this episode in the tomb. And then they realize he is, in fact, risen, that very thing that we're celebrating today. Let's move on to another character, Mary. Well, who is this Mary Magdalene? A lot of people mistake her for the prostitute in one of the stories in the Bible, and that's not who she is. Mary is from Magdala. That's where the last name, if you want to call it her last name, Magdalene, means she's from the city of Magdala. And she was cured by Jesus. Luke chapter 8, verse 2. Soon afterwards, Jesus went on through cities and villages. This is during his ministry years, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had been gone out. Mary was liberated. We would call it an exorcism, that Jesus released her from these oppressive demons, feelings and cured her. Place yourself in her shoes. What gratitude you would have. What loyalty that you would have to Jesus, this Jesus who freed you from all of these anxieties. Mary's loyal. We read the accounts of the crucifixion, and who is right up by the cross? It's not the apostles. They were all afraid. They were hiding out. It's these women that followed along with the apostles and provided food for them along the way. Mary is right there at the cross, and she's experiencing this whole scene, and she is there for the Lord Jesus because she loves him. She was the recipient of his love. Let's take a look at this passage again. A point I want to throw in here is loyalty is a good thing, but it can get in the way of understanding new developments. Her preconceptions, our preconceptions of who God is, our preconceptions can get in the way of further understanding in more depth and nuance and complexity who God is. And we're never going to fully understand who God is. Life is like an unfolding, a gradual understanding of the ways of God. And we're going to see this in Mary. Let's take a look again at verses 1 to 2. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Verse 2, so she ran and went to Simon Peter. Her first instinct is that somebody stole the body. Went to Peter and the other disciple, that's John, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. Because of her love for Jesus, she jumps to conclusions. It's a logical conclusion. I read this passage and I think, how many times have I jumped to conclusions? And my gut instinct said, this is what's really going on. And I was confident that I had analyzed the situation completely right, only to find out later on, I wasn't even close. You know, the circumstances reveal that, no, I was completely off. Mary, in this little story, has to learn to see her friend Jesus in a different way. Verses 11 to 13, Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped into the tomb, and she saw two angels. Remember, she's so focused on Jesus, she hardly even notices the two angels. I'm like, these are two angels. You don't say anything about the angels? She's so focused on who this Jesus is that she knows. She knows Jesus in a certain way. She saw the two angels sitting where the body had lain, and one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, they have taken away my Lord. She's convinced that somebody came and stole the body, and I don't know where they have laid him. So Mary, in point C here, Mary has a failure to recognize. To be cognizant means having knowledge or being aware of. So I'm going to play around with that word. I'm going to play around with recognize, the word recognize a little bit. She's having a hard time recognizing Jesus in this new capacity. She's having a hard time cognizing, gaining new knowledge or new ways of seeing Jesus along the way. Take a look at verses 14 and 15. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? There's that phrase again that the angel said, whom are you seeking? And she supposes him to be the gardener, and she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. She's so focused on finding Jesus' body. Here's an artist's rendition. She's looking all over the garden, and Jesus is right there, and she mistakes him for the gardener because she has preconceptions. This is who Jesus is. She has preconceptions. Our lives as Christians we need to constantly open ourselves up to further understanding. God, what is it new about you that you want me to understand? We're human beings and we like stability. We like to have clear answers. And that gives us stability and that helps us immensely. But then at a certain point, God starts nudging us and says, I want to teach you more about myself. And he nudges us out of our current understanding. So he's in this garden area. Now we come to Jesus. Jesus sometimes jolts us like he jolts Mary. He calls us by name. We feel his pull towards him. God wants us to have a relationship with him. And our sinfulness and our preconceptions and our ideas of who God is oftentimes gets in the way. And God says, I want a relationship, but it's your sin that's getting in the way. I will send my son to die on the cross and pay the price for your sins so that we can be reconciled once again. And we grasp that and we give our lives over to Jesus and says, and we say, Christ, come into my life. I want you as my Savior and Lord. And it opens up a new way of seeing. One of my favorite theologians from the Middle Ages, medieval times, Anselm, says, credo ut intelligam. Got my Latin mixed up there. I believe in order that I might understand. Belief comes before understanding. We take that leap of faith, and because we take that leap of faith, then we are able to start understanding who Jesus is. And then God and Jesus continues to unveil themselves to us. So my point, one of my points today is Easter is the culmination of Easter is the culmination of Holy Week, but it's not the end. It's just the beginning of our walk with God. When we invite Jesus into our lives, it changes us. But that's the beginning. We have a lifelong process of learning about Christ closer and closer and getting a better understanding of who he is. And his revelations will be different for each of us, really, depending on where we are. It's not a straight line. We're all kind of moving around, helping each other, understanding who this Jesus is. And he continues to unveil himself to us. For some reason, I'm thinking of that cloth that was around his face, and it was all neatly folded up in today's account. It's kind of like us sometimes. We like a nice, neat account of who this Jesus is, and Jesus says, no, unwrap that. Take that nicely folded linen cloth and unwrap it and see it anew. See it in new ways. We're constantly looking at Jesus in new ways. Why? Otherwise, our religion, our beliefs become stale, becomes boring. We have to constantly look in new ways. I'm looking at Norris now, and I'm thinking, every morning, and the horizon is different. Every morning is different. If Norris wakes up and he looks out and he says, oh, I'm going to look out at the horizon, and it's going to be the same horizon I saw yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. It gets boring, but if he wakes up in the morning and looks out and says, God, what do you have for me today? What does that horizon look like? And God reveals himself in new ways every day. So my admonition is, Easter is not the end of the week. It's the beginning of the rest of our lives. Let me continue on here. So Jesus jolts us out of our complacency. He provides this new way of understanding who he is. Verse 17, the beginning of verse 17, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Things have changed, and he wants to reveal himself to Mary in a new way. That's a hard passage to understand, and I don't really understand this whole idea of Jesus needing to go to the Father first. I fall back on what N.T. Wright wrote about this passage. And he says, I think it's more likely that is a warning to Mary that the new relationship with Jesus was not going to be like the old one. Mary, the old one was, I walked around the earth with you. But under the new way of knowing me is going to be through my Holy Spirit. And next week, when we look at a passage where Jesus comes and sees his apostles in the upper room, he's going to give them the Holy Spirit, and then later on, the work of the Holy Spirit will be manifested. So there's going to be new ways of knowing Jesus. To finish up on this slide, coming back to spiritual understanding, remember with Peter and John, they gained new insights from old experiences. They looked at past experiences in new ways. Well, this is a new experience for Mary, and so she has new insights from new experiences, and we have to be open to what God is telling us and not be closed to a certain comfortable understanding of who God is. I should probably just end my sermon right there, because that's the important thing. We can't get too comfortable with our understanding of who God is. Let's take a look at verse 16b, the last portion of 16b. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And then on verse 18, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. It's as if she was enlightened when Jesus says, Mary, jolted her out of her expectations, and now she's seeing him in new ways, and she shares that with Peter and with John, and she goes back to tell them what she knows. I'm going to finish it up with a little bit more Latin down here on the bottom of the slide. Qui cognoscit Deum non cognoscit. Who knows God does not know. What does that mean? It means this. If you think you know who God is, you don't. God is always more. God is always more than what we understand. And through a life of devotion towards God and trying to strive to learn who he is, he reveals himself evermore. The key is to walk humbly with God, to walk humbly with our understanding of who God is. God is always more complex. God is always more nuanced. God is always more challenging than maybe we like to settle into. So we're always growing because of who God is and the need for humility. And here's an artist's rendition of the interaction between Mary and Jesus. So let's have some takeaways from today. Are you open to recognizing, to think about and experience Jesus in new ways? I'm going back to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. I love books. I love ideas. And I'm always amazed that all the stuff that I learn doesn't really give me insight. It takes me up to the point of insight. How do we learn stuff? It's like a magical moment when the aha hits us. We can be studying something. We can be studying scriptures. We can be studying calculus. We can be studying anything. We can get up to that point of kind of knowing what's going on. But anytime that we have an understanding, it's as if God is revealing knowledge to us, whether it's a leap of faith or a leap of knowledge. So we have to be humble, and we have to move forward in trust. Trust in the Lord. B, how is Jesus more than you knew? Think back to your walk with the Lord. How has God deepened and enriched your understanding? Many times, our understanding is deepened because of hardships. And God allows us to go through hardships. And through that, we don't want to go through hardships. But we look back and we're like, I hated that time in my life, but I was so close to God. I needed to hold on to God. And I learned more about who God was and the love that he has, even if on the surface it looked like things were going horribly. through that process, we learn more of who God is. So ask yourself, well, how is your understanding of Jesus, of God, different now? Maybe not radically different, but how has it grown and enriched and changed in subtle ways? As you know, I like to run. And the older I get, the slower I get, and the less endurance I have. But I still try to run either a half marathon or a marathon every year. And the idea I take with me is, I'm not going to know what it feels like to run mile 24 in a marathon unless I run 23 miles first. Well, what does this have to do with you? God takes each of us through all these victories, successes, understandings, losses. We can't just jump to a deeper understanding of who God is without going those first 23 miles. And it's different for everybody. God takes us on different journeys, and we learn about him in different ways. And we're like, God, why don't you just tell me what you want me to know? And he's like, nope. You're not going to understand what it feels like to be in mile 24 unless you run mile 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 16 and 18 and 22. You got to go through all of these steps along the way. So how do you know Jesus more than you knew before? And then finally, how can you share those insights with others? This is from 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 13. Oh, I should go back. I just want to share real quickly what Thomas Aquinas had said. Thomas Aquinas, a famous theologian from the Middle Ages, and he wrote these huge systematic theology to explain his understanding of who God was. Towards the end of his life, he had this revelation during a church service, and he realized everything that he had put down on paper was just a feeble attempt at explaining his understanding who God was. And he wrote down this observation: such things have been revealed to me in this experience he had, that all that I have written, and he wrote a lot, seems to me as so much straw. His revelation, his understanding of God was so deepened by this experience. Okay, let me finish up now. How can you share what you learn again or learn anew? 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 13. This is Paul talking. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. We learn things through, you know, you can learn things through catechism, through studying the Bible, and we also learn things by firsthand experience with the Holy Spirit. So don't quench the Spirit. Be open to what the Spirit has to tell us. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. That's a good line. His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. We don't try to figure out, how am I going to explain my understanding of God to my friend here? Instead, we speak words given to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the words that we need to use, using the Spirit's words to explain these spiritual truths. So I find it exciting knowing that as we continue to walk with God and to seek him and to learn more about him, that God will continue to reveal himself to us in ever more subtle ways. And I realize I've been talking about a lot of abstract stuff today on Easter Sunday, but I just want you to keep in mind that the walk with the Lord is a lifelong experience. It doesn't end on Easter Sunday. It begins on Easter Sunday. Christ has paid the price for our sins, and now let us continue to walk and deepen our walk with God. And with that, let's finish with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your, we thank you for making yourself accessible to us, to help us understand who you are, to give us confidence in our understanding of you, but we also thank you for challenging us to just get rid of our preconceptions of who you are, to start every day anew with, Lord, show me who you are in new ways so that I can deepen not only my understanding of you, but also my love for you. We thank you for your revelation. We thank you for your general revelation of nature and your specific revelation of the Bible and Jesus coming to earth and your ongoing revealing of yourself to us. We ask you to help us be humble and open to the nudging of the Holy Spirit as we continue this wonderful walk of being Christians and getting to know you in an ever more personal way. And all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.